The Pod Network Entertainment.
In today's podcast, we usually interview a lot of entrepreneurs and business leaders. This time around, I want to interview what I call a solopreneur, somebody who turned their particular skill sets into a business for themselves. So today, I'd like to speak to business owner Mia Ragasa. Mia, welcome to the podcast.
Good day, everyone. So good day, RJ. Thank you for having me.
Mia, thank you so much for coming. You look so dressed compared to me. I love the corporate outfit. Yes. As we come to this one over here.
Thank you.
Yeah, and Mia, so you know, I like that we're just coming out of Women's Month, right? And I love having women here in the show for two particular reasons. One is to really honor my wife, who's also an entrepreneur herself. She's actually the one running the show for our business, which is Mercato Central. I'm sort of like the connector and networker and business development, but she is the operations and the finance of the business.
Oh, that's good.
And at the same time, I'm honoring my daughter because I want her to have really great examples of business people whom in the future she can say, wow, I want to be like this one, or this is a role model or a blueprint for what I can do in the future. Mm-hmm. So tell me a bit more about how you came into business in the first place. You're a business owner. Mm-hmm. But did you become immediately a business owner, or was it something that you came through a circuitous route? You know, you went through working for somebody first, eventually said, okay, I need more time for the family.
Yes, actually, before this one, actually, I was an employee. Mm-hmm. I used to work in a bank. Mm-hmm. And then I moved to IT because of the flexibility of time. But I thought the flexibility of time is like 24/7 in IT. So okay. It's hard to juggle with three kids. So I have three kids. I have all girls. So initially, I really want to have more time with them because they were still small at the time when I was joining in my company. But initially, I said, no, I cannot like last here because I really want to be entrepreneur. Same thing as you. I also want my kids to see me as an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. Than being an employee. So, but it took time for me to really find my niche, should I say. So I started with different businesses. Mm-hmm. I started partnering with a restaurant, with a soft serve ice cream. Mm-hmm. I also did a computer shop because I used to be in IT. Mm-hmm. So, but all of them actually failed because of one, it's actually, should I say, fad. Mm-hmm. It's a fad, so it didn't last. Your average is like 2 years.
I see.
2 years with the business, and then suddenly this was like an eye opener of trying new things to do while I'm still in corporate. So I tried it initially as a part-time, but I love what I was doing at the time. Mm-hmm. And left my corporate stint for this business.
Okay, so I just want to take a step back and let's review what you were doing before that one. Mm-hmm. So what I'm seeing, several things were happening to in your life. First of all, you were saying your North Star for you was that eventually you want to be an entrepreneur who controlled your own time. Right, and this was really driven by the fact that you had a family that you wanted to be with. So it's, you know, what I often find, you know, very, you know, challenging but also impressive about, you know, female entrepreneurship people or females in general when they go to the workforce is that, you know, unlike the male, sometimes we don't consider, you know, it's just the work. But here you have to balance off, you know, saying, okay, I want to make sure that my children, my family are taken care of, and I have enough time for them. How was that like for you when you were making that decision?
Because I'm very hands-on. Mm-hmm. As a mom, so I'm the one doing the tutor when they were still a kid going to school. So at the time, I want them to be their first teacher. So I tried escaping from work, and then eventually trying to struggle between family and also my work in IT.
And I guess it was quite a challenge for you as
challenge,
well.
Challenge, very challenge.
That's right. And the other thing that I also understand is you were doing other side hustles. Is that right? You were doing your main IT work, but you were also doing
business.
Yeah. You tried to do small, I guess, F&B, a small restaurant, and then soft serve ice cream, you're saying.
Yes.
And a computer shop, but it didn't seem to work out. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. What did you learn? I mean, sometimes we have to keep on explaining to people that, you know, nowadays it's actually okay to fail because, you know, it happens, right? I mean, you got the business, you tried it out, it didn't work out, but you're an entrepreneur here right now. So when you were doing the business, what particular life lessons or business lessons did you gain from that one?
Mainly, I was just a partner or just a capital partner. I'm not really hands-on to what they do. Mm-hmm. So with this, of jumping to a new business, of what I do now is I'm the one who's in control of this.
Okay.
So basically, I can maneuver it. I can control if I'll be successful or not. So basically, I'm the one who can see what's the future behind it.
I see. So what became important to you was the idea that you could be the one holding the steering wheel.
Correct.
I see. Okay, so you went through a succession of, I would call it a succession of different businesses. Mm-hmm. And finally, the current business that you're in, how did you find that to be a business that addressed your pain point of being entrepreneurial, mm-hmm. but at the same time, something which you like to do? Because that has to be something that hopefully works well together.
When I jumped to this, I initially just tried it out, mm-hmm. because I just want something new. But since I want to try it out, I tried it out in 100% way. It's just a mindset, right? Even if I'm doing it part-time, even if I have work, but the mindset is I will do it as a full-time basis. So in a way, I was trying to explore it in such a way that this is my business, I know this will work, and eventually I will drop being an employee.
Okay. So it's really two things. It's that positive mindset that this is going to work, and number two was that you had that mindset, okay, I will take the necessary steps to build this business so eventually I can leave my day job for this more permanent job for you. Mm-hmm. Many entrepreneurs often ask this question, or many people who want to leave their day jobs mm-hmm. for their side hustles often ask this question. Mm-hmm. Mia, the question is, when is the best time to leave my day job and go for my side hustle? Because many of them are a bit worried, because you know, this one there's stability, even if it's not that high, but there's stability over here. Mm-hmm. So when is the point that you can say, okay, I can finally make that job?
It's difficult actually to leave your corporate because of the stability of the income.
That's right.
But when you move to more, the risky part of the business is actually maybe the income is actually a factor. Mm-hmm. But knowing that I can see more people, I like talking to more people. So with that experience, it means that I can really grow this business.
I see.
Even if I was the only one who started it, but eventually I know I'll also make it big.
I see. So you could see the potential in yourself.
In myself,
yes. To grow the business. So when you left the corporate work to go full-time with your other job, was the income that you were making in your other job equivalent to or lesser than?
Not yet. It's really a jump or a leap of faith.
I
really left out of my personal capacity that I left my big amount of salary, mm-hmm. compared to what I was earning. Probably it's just like one-fourth
what I was earning.
That was really a leap of faith. But for me, what it feels like, because as an entrepreneur, you know, our main job, I often tell people when we talk about entrepreneurship, is that to be an entrepreneur is to find a business that solves a pain point, mm-hmm. or says, you know, you're coming in to solve some other people's problems. Mm-hmm. Is that what you felt, that, you know, okay, in this business I'm entering into, it's going to solve a lot of problems, or it's going to have a lot of people with problems that I can solve? Is that how you felt?
Yes, because my life became more significant because I'm needed. Mm-hmm. Because my role here is actually more to help more people to be financially secured. At the same time, help them in the future, that at the end of the day, they'll thank me.
I see. Grabe lang suspense natin, di ba? Sabi ko, how to make people's future secure, all these different things. Tell us, what do you actually do?
Actually, I'm a licensed financial advisor, mm-hmm. and actually I'm a branch manager and a GA owner of my own branch.
What does GA mean?
GA is a general agency owner along our lines.
I see. So you are the business owner of insurance, is that
insurance,
right?
Yes.
Okay. And so when you did that one, you know, let's go back to helping people as they listen to us in a conversation. When they're doing the day job and they do a side hustle, there are many side hustles to choose from, you know.
True.
And they're all, you know, you put your hard work in and hopefully you get something back. They have, you know, there's network marketing, multi-level marketing, there's content creatorship, yes, which wasn't existent during our time. And then there's of course, insurance. Mm-hmm. Among those, you know, sort of competing sort of side hustles, why did you choose to do insurance?
Initially, I was just intrigued in what's in it in there. But when I tried it out, I'm a policyholder, and the person who got me there was my agent, and I was exploring possibility of exploring what to do. Mm-hmm. So with her, I can see the happiness in her.
I see.
So I said I might be in the wrong in the wrong industry. So I might as well try it out and see if I can make it in this industry.
Oh, so it's literally because you saw
enticed.
you were enticed.
I was enticed
by the agent who went to you initially to get your proposal.
Yeah.
So how did you take your first steps when you wanted to get into it? What did you do next?
Well, I tried it as a part time, but as mentioned, it's more on a mindset.
Okay.
If a part time, you need to find time to do it. So I was struggling between work and this as a part-timer, but I was doing it on a breakfast when I bring my kids to school, so I'm gonna meet people, lunch and dinner, something like that. So
well,
on a weekend,
breakfast meeting, lunch meeting, dinner,
yeah, and
meeting
then in between are my work.
Oh, I see. Well, that's really hustle for me.
Yeah.
And of course, did they train you ahead of time? I mean, did they provide some, even if you're doing part-time work, they were training you as well?
I was really very attentive in all the trainings because I know that's my like my capital, so that I can succeed in what I do.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that for me, I mean, I do a lot of different types of jobs, and you know, it's quite taxing at the same time. But I'm very fulfilled because you know I like entrepreneurship. But you know, this is the difference here, Naman. Also, is that if you look at women doing the job, it's not just them balancing out the job and your hustle. It's also the family. How did you manage all that one? Because that's what I find really incredible.
Yeah. So at the time, the good thing that my kids, while they were growing up with me, they can see what I do.
I see.
So even if I meet with meetings with clients, they're just in the other table.
I see.
So they normally I'm with them. So in what I do, so they see me. Even in the trips, I also bring them.
I see. In a way, is it sort of like also exposing them to business so that eventually they see?
Yes.
They see. They also gain that sort of work ethic, I guess. No.
Yeah. It's something that they look up to. So eventually, my mom is actually very hardworking. I'll also do that.
Something I see.
Like,
and then finally, as you were doing this one, what do you think were the biggest challenges for you as you were doing this work? Because first, you know, I'm thinking, you know, it's not easy to say goodbye to your day job. That's a big opportunity cost. And also at the same time, you're saying, what will be my future with this one? What if it doesn't work? Of course, you have some self-doubts and you can't help that one. You're only human, diba?
Mm-hmm.
So what were your challenges, I guess, when you were starting off?
Yes. Initially, well, my husband, my mom doesn't want.
Okay.
They don't agree. But I said, no, I can do this. But in the event of time that they were seeing me happy in what I do, they were very supportive already. So the challenges is actually one because of time, because I was doing it in between.
I see.
So time was a struggle, but after that you can manage that. Something that you can manage is actually something that you can control.
Wow.
And another is actually the challenge was I also get some rejection. So what you do if you do rejection, maybe you did something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be trained. So I attended a lot of training so that I can be equipped to what I need to do.
I see.
Yeah, and another challenge is my friends at that time were saying, Mia, why do you have to go there? Why do you have to be an agent?
Mm-hmm.
You're doing well already with your work. I said, I'm happy with what I'm doing. what is wrong with what I do? So I really need to prove them wrong. That's why I really made it good initially.
I see. So, you know, I see most of them are, much of what you had to do is really, it's just, you know, changing your perspective on things, particularly with regard to how you see failure and how you see, I guess, professional career progression, because some people see it as, you know, the only way to create a career is working your way up.
Yes.
But there are many ways to pursue your career path.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yes, of course. In our field, there's a lot of ways to improve yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what I like, because you're not stagnant to what you do.
Mm-hmm.
There's also career path in the event of time that you'll also excel in many levels.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
And also in terms of failure,
mm-hmm.
You know, I often tell people, you know, I had a chance to speak to so many insurance people, and I met the people who you call the $1 million roundtable.
Yes.
People who actually sold, I guess that's $1 million worth of policies a year, right? And when there was one chance, I had a chance to meet all these different roundtable members. They were saying, I said, how do you handle rejection? Because I'm sure that at your stature, at your experience and wisdom, nobody rejects you anymore. And what they told me was that they said, RJ, you'd be mistaken, because up to now, people still reject us. But the difference is how we look at rejection.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they reject me, I don't feel bad for myself. I feel bad for them, because I'm giving them something that will improve their lives, the lives of their families, and they don't accept that from me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not actually my loss, it's their loss.
Mm-hmm.
But they've taught me something important. They've taught me another way somebody says no to me, so I can actually turn that into a positive.
Yes,
is that right?
Correct. Actually, as mentioned, that I really did well at the onset, because
mm-hmm.
I want to prove to other people that I can really make it big in what I have decided on.
Okay,
so I was part of the $1 million roundtable initially, probably 7 to 8 months when
Holy
I was still starting. And then right now, I've been here for the past 12 years in the industry. I'm also 12-time MDRT.
Wow.
So
12-time $1 million roundtable, 12-time $1 million roundtable club, 12 times she's gone abroad. Where have you gone so far? Where have you
a lot of places. I've been to almost 100 countries for the past like 12 years, less the pandemic.
So 12 years, 100 countries because of the result of you selling, for you
there's
being
a
financial advisor.
Yes, there's a lot of incentives, not only the MDRT conventions, but also in the company, there's a lot of trip incentives, which actually the reason why I was also enticed to join
I see. But can you just share with us some of the countries? I'm just curious, like 100 countries, what can you name?
My top probably is Iceland, that's one.
Wow.
The second is Cape Town, Africa. I like going to Switzerland. Very, it's very expensive, but it's very nice. Sweden, I've been to Copenhagen. What else? Spain, there's a lot of countries.
Does your family get to go with you?
Yes, I normally bring my husband so that I can have a picture.
Okay, of course.
But also with my kids.
Fantastic.
So normally I bring each one of them, or sometimes if I can, with the entire family, but more on to bond with each of my kids.
And then I see that your main motivator was to sort of, I mean, it sounds a bit negative, but it was to prove other people wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, at the start, because that became, like, okay,
no,
so I can do this one. I mean, just because I left this job, which you think is perfect for me, I'm doing this job, I'm going to do very good at this
mm-hmm.
job and succeed. But oftentimes, you know, I wanted to know, you know, how is it like the first time that you had to close a deal? That must have been exciting for you, the first time somebody actually said yes for your first policy. I'm sure you remember how that was like for you.
Yes. Actually, he's a very close friend of mine. So those are the people who helped me initially, the friends.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked the help of my, used to be my branch manager, and my she was also my mentor at that
mm-hmm.
time. So I was with her and asked for help, because I really don't know anything yet at that time. So
that really helped you out a lot more.
There's
a mentorship.
A mentorship and some sense of confidence. So that in the next round, you don't need to bring your mentor anymore you.
So there's a bit of hand-holding until the point that you can do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a bit more now. You know, of course, you were working hard over here in your job. You were 7 months into it. You actually got $1 million roundtable.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know, from your perspective, when did you feel that you made it in doing insurance? Ito na yan.
Yes, when officially I left my corporate after a year. This is it. I will not go back to corporate. So that is actually my golden rule. No going back to corporate. I need to pursue and make it big in this industry.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And what has been so far for you over how many years now?
12.
12 years. What for you is the your personal biggest achievement when it came to insurance?
Well, not only being a consistent MDRT. MDRT is really for my clients. It's actually a tribute to them. Second is actually building my own agency. So with that, I have around 420 as of now.
People under you?
Under me.
420 people?
420, and I have 8 leaders also under me. So it was really not easy. It was not overnight that it happened, but with hard work and commitment to what I do, so I think I was able to build that amount of agents under me.
Wow, that's truly amazing. So you got 420 people under you. You seem to have, you know, you've established yourself very, very well. You've proven people wrong, and you've also made people's perceptions of you more correct, I guess, no? Or what you think, you know, you want them, they appreciate now where you're coming from,
yes.
Rather. So what's next for you now?
Next, there's still a lot more. There's no, like, never ending. This is never ending. And the good thing about it, you keep on learning, you keep on improving as time goes by. So 400 is actually small. Mm-hmm. There's still more agency that is big. So I still want to grow and expand more branches that I can help more people to also be successful in this field. By adding more people, it means that our branch is doing well. They are actually doing well in this business as well.
Wow. I'm sure that many people were inspired by what you were sharing here right now. And if you were to take a look back at your 12 years of doing this one. It was yesterday. Now, for those 12 years, what would you like to advise, I guess, people who are also at the crossroads, moms like you, homemakers,
yeah.
Corporate moms, mm-hmm. or entrepreneurial moms, you know, or people wanting to make that career switch. Mm-hmm. How would you probably encourage them to start doing what you're doing here right now in insurance?
One, there's no harm in trying. So as long as they believe in themselves and they know that they can also be successful in this field, I think they can really be. So initially, you just need to, attend trainings, try it out, and probably do their best. Sometimes the other people will try it, but they really don't give 100%. Mm-hmm. But I should say they have to give 100% and let them try. And maybe you wouldn't know they're going to be the next branch manager as well.
That's right.
And what's your biggest, if you have, after the 12 years, if you were to talk to the Mia who started off doing the business, right? Mm-hmm. What would be your pieces of management advice that you'd like to give her? And life advice at the same time, when it came to running the business and running the household at the same time.
Okay. Initially, you need to have a proper mindset when you enter, because the insurance agency or being an insurance agent is not easy. Mm-hmm. It really entails a lot of hard work. So you start it off with good mindset. If you have good mindset, then you can make sure that all difficulties, all the challenges that will come to you, you can surpass that. So, and then add to more fulfilling, make it more fulfilling for you. Mm-hmm. So by helping more people to be successful in this business, not only that, for your clients, mm-hmm. because I'm helping a lot of my clients to be financially secure. So I have a lot of claims already, and in a way that is actually my help to them. What if I didn't approach them? Mm-hmm. So what will happen? So something like that. So the more that I can reach out to people, better, but I cannot reach to all. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why I add more people in my team so that they can reach whoever they want to, which is their own network. And in that way, they can also find their maybe mission in this, their the mission of helping people.
That's right. And as you know, I've been to so many investment conferences and economic policy guidelines, and we know that insurance has barely breached the Philippines, penetrated the general economy, and there's a big opportunity for insurance to really still grow in the country.
There's still a big percentage that is untapped and not yet insured, which kawawa ka if you're not insured, right? So remember, as long as you have your family with you, you need really the insurance.
And what's nice about this one is that you don't only look at this as your work, it's also an advocacy.
Advocacy, yeah.
That's right. I mean, you're really protecting the family over here. Mm-hmm. So for people who want to be able to be part of Pru-Life, especially together with you, how do they go through the process?
Oh, well, initially, we just need to meet up. You go to the branch. My branch is located along Arnais. So once they understand, so we have a lot of business opportunity preview, or we call it the Build Your Business orientation. Then they can see to themselves if they really want to. Then the step will be, the next one is to take the exam. You need to be licensed mm-hmm. to be part of this mm-hmm. and attend all the trainings available. So maybe that is my initial tip to those who are interested to join.
And with that, Mia, thank you so much for guesting on the show, for inspiring future million-dollar round table awardees there to be part of the organization. Again, thanks so much. Thank you for joining us here on the RJ Ledesma podcast. Thanks so much, Mia. We'll see you guys in the next RJ Ledesma podcast.
You can join us also by checking our social media pages. We have Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter in Pru-Life UK site. And also, you can also check our website, prulifeuk.com.ph. And also, you can visit our branch along Arnais Avenue, Lazarette Rue Diamond Insurance Agency. Thank you!
The opinions of podcast creators, hosts, and guests are not necessarily reflective of the official stance of the Pod Network Entertainment, its hosts, or other network programs. The content created by the people behind the podcast is personal and not meant to harm any religion, ethnicity, group, organization, company, or individual.